Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
If you're a woman over 40 dealing with hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, or weight gain, you don't have to accept it as just another part of aging. The experts at Midi Health know all these symptoms can be connected to the hormonal changes of menopause. And MIDI can help with safe, effective, FDA-approved solutions covered by insurance. 91% of MIDI patients get relief from symptoms within just 2 months. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. The first 6 episodes are available now. Stream each new episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download the Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County takes senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit AsburyMethodistVillage.org today. Your future's here. Equal opportunity housing provider.
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 90 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Click and Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We head to the mound today for our 2022 starting pitcher preview with two more great guests. But first, let's bring in my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, what's going on, man? Man, episode 90, we're already 10 away from 100. It seems a little surreal.
I know. It feels like we just started, and now we're already at 90, so it's kind of cool to see how far we've come. It's been, I guess we started, what, November of 2020?
Yep.
So, wow, it's been 15, 16 months. So it's been a good ride, and I feel like it's just getting better and better. So, again, appreciate all the support, 90 episodes. We'll be at 100 before we know it, so that's kind of exciting. And, yeah, yeah. You mentioned that we got two good guests that are going to be perfect for this episode as we talk about starting pitching. So really looking forward to that.
Well, we have one great guest, and then like there's this other guy that we have on that's not even paying attention right now. Look at the screen. There we go.
You're doing the intro. What do you want me to do?
This guy's like on his phone, like peacing out. No, we do have two great guests here today. Our first guest is the co-host of the SP Streamer podcast and the Rest of Season Rankings podcast, along with a writer here at Fantrax HQ, the awesome Lauren Auerbach is in the toolshed today. Lauren, how are you?
I am doing well, guys. I'm so happy to be back in the toolshed with y'all. I think last time I was here, we were at the tail end of last season. So it's good to be joining you guys as we're getting, as we're gearing up for the new season that will hopefully start on time.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, it feels like just yesterday, like mm-hmm. tail end of last season. Now we're, you know, getting in the mid-February here and hopefully spring training comes
It must
soon.
Have been the playoffs, right? Because we were talking about the Braves' potential run.
I think so, yeah. And now that went well.
World Series right? champion.
yep, yeah, there you go.
He's got the uh-huh. banner in the background.
Uh-huh. Although there was a little wah-wah today because I saw some news about, you know, Freddie Freeman and the Yankees. And I'm just like,
I think that would upset everybody in this podcast because I'm a Red Sox fan and obviously don't like the Yankees. I love Freeman's one of like my five favorite players in baseball. I love Freddie Freeman. So don't want him to go to the Yankees at all. That'd be a disaster. He'd be great in that ballpark. His left-handed power at Yankee Stadium would be phenomenal. But yeah, I don't want him going to the Yankees. Then we have a Mets fan over here who I'm assuming doesn't like the Yankees, but I don't know. This guy doesn't like Kelenic and pancakes, so who knows what he does and does not like. If you haven't figured it out yet, our next guest here is the man behind SP Streamer, a known hater of Jared Kelenic and pancakes, and the only fantasy analyst that has a mask of his face floating out there somewhere in Mike Kerwin's office, the one, the only Michael Simeone. Michael, what's going on?
That mask is not my fault.
No, it is not.
That dude is just a weirdo.
That is definitely not your fault. Though you did lose the who wore it better poll on Twitter between yourself and Kerwin. It was like 70% went to Kerwin. So
I mean,
would you be the number two overall pick in a Michael Simeone draft? Is that how this goes?
I mean, no matter what, it'd be better than Kelenic.
Hey, pronounce his name right.
Anything baseball. I'm saying it wrong on purpose.
I know. Put some respect on that name. We have to make a follow-up bet to last year's bet that you didn't even.
We didn't even do it.
I know. That was on you, buddy. I brought the shirt.
I was distracted by my roommates. I didn't have time to go get a Sharpie.
That's very fair. That is very fair. I totally understand that. Yeah. Before we get into the show, though, today, the usual housekeeping, you could find us all on Twitter. Lauren is at LK Auerbach, AUERBACH. Michael is, of course, at SP Streamer. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at Eric Cross 04, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoyed this podcast or the awesome SP Streamer podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/Fantrax Toolshed for extra content from both Chris and I. And of course, check out all the other great written and audio work we have on the Fantrax HQ network, including our 2022 draft kits. And finally, in honor of the SP Streamer podcast duo joining us today, we will be giving away 4 SP Streamer draft kits that will be out on February 14th, so next Monday. To be entered to win one of these draft kits, tweet at us at Fantrax Toolshed with your favorite pitching target for 2022. Bonus points if you somehow fit in some dig at Simeone for his weird Kelenic takes there. You might get bonus points there. A better chance of winning. No, I'm kidding. Tweet at us with your favorite pitching target for 2022 through the end of the weekend. So you'll hear this on Thursday. So you get through the end of the weekend. We will pick 4 winners randomly on Monday morning, and you will get the awesome SP Streamer draft kit. What can they look forward to in that draft kit, Michael?
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff in there. Our draft strategy section is like 70 pages long. We got a whole thing.
That was Jenny Butler, right?
No. Dave McDonald.
Oh, Dave McDonald. Sorry. Yeah.
Dave McDonald. We have a whole section on streaming. We obviously do ranks for all positions as well as prospect ranks. We have like mini deep dives on a bunch of pitchers. We also have a couple of, I guess you call them sleeper picks for position players as well. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I'm so bad at self-promoting. there's a lot in there. Oh, we added like a DFS section, and we basically cover nice. Everything you could possibly think of in it.
And Mike Curlin's in it.
Yeah, he is. Not next year though.
This is last year. He worked his way out of it. Yeah, so definitely, even if you don't win one of those, go out and get that draft kit. It's a great, got a great stuff in there, as Michael said. But let's get right into this week's episode. It's our 2022 starting pitcher preview. Let's start right at the top here. And all ADP we will be talking about today is NFBC ADP from January 1st on for draft champions. And right at the top, you know, the number one and number two overall pitcher, Gerrit Cole, 6.1, Corbin Burnes, 8.1. Lauren, if you were looking to draft the pitcher, you know, maybe you're in that mid to back end part of the first rounds, who would you be going with there? Are you a Cole fan? Or are you a Burnes person?
I'm a Cole fan. In fact, I did this in Cole fell to me in the Battle of the Pods draft, and I wasn't expecting to pick a starting pitcher in the first round this season. But you know, drafts never go the way you plan, and he fell, and so I chose Gerrit Cole.
And, you know, this year, you know, pitching seems to be get pushed up more and more every year. What is your general strategy? Do you like to attack pitching early, get a couple, you know, horses at the top, or, you know, well, yeah, what is just your general strategy for pitching?
I mean, in general, I'm looking to walk away with kind of like two pitchers within the first six rounds. And I think that it always kind of varies year to year, depending on, you know, whether pitchers are getting pushed up and, you know, where you get them at in the draft within those six rounds. You know, like for instance, this year, even though they just picked up Gerrit Cole, you know, I don't think that you really need to reach, you know, for any of these really top guys, you know, one of the top five guys or so. I think that there are a lot of intriguing arms, you know, later in the draft that I would be more than happy to kind of double tap and take as, you know, kind of my rotation anchors.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's a lot of intriguing pitching talent. That is for sure. And I'm in the triple player. What do they call it? The triple players ball or whatever they call it. I'm pretty sure the first time ever went four pitchers in the first five rounds. It was just way, because I went, I had the 13th pick, went Buehler, came back around with Luis Robert, and then I went Sandy Alcantara, Emmanuel Clase, and then Freddy Peralta was still sitting there at pick 73. I'm like, I kind of have to. I wanted to go hitting there, but I went Peralta. And I almost took Logan Webb with my next pick. He was still there, but I'm like, no, I need a hitter at this point, and went elsewhere. But yeah, I found myself targeting pitching a little bit more early on. And yeah, it depends how the draft board falls. Sometimes I'll still go hitter, and then maybe I'll get, you know, one of that second tier that we'll get into later. But yeah, definitely been focusing on pitching earlier than I used to. I used to hate drafting pitching early, and now it's like, you know, you kind of have to. Michael, how about you?
Yeah, so if it comes down to the first round, I agree with Lauren on Cole. I have them very, very close, but I think adding the DH, I think edges Cole out for me, just because while I don't really think it'll affect Burnes too much or the aces too much where you have to worry about it, I just think it's a little more of an edge to Cole because we already know that, like, he could handle nine hitters, you know. I don't think you go wrong either way, though. I think they're both no-brainers.
We're nitpicking at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And then for drafts, again, I agree with Lauren. I'm taking like two in the top, probably first five or six rounds I'm taking two. And then I'm focusing on hitters. And I try to grab an RP as well.
Yeah, I was about to ask you. I know we're not talking really pitchers today, but do you, one of those, you both kind of said two in the first six, which is basically how I am. Is one of those two, ideally, obviously it's hard to tell with how drafts go, but is that ideally one of those two going to be a reliever for you as well?
Yeah. It's certainly, this year. Oh, yeah. I think it, especially since, like, you know, relievers are just completely getting pushed up right now. And I think it's also like, you need to know your skill as a manager. I am really bad at managing relievers and grabbing saves. So for me, I don't have a problem paying up. I'm paying up for that. You know, that draft cost, it's a peace of mind for me. So I know that, you know, barring health, I'm getting, you know, a ton of saves. So then I don't have to kind of like comb through later in the draft because I'm not good at that. So I definitely pay up.
Yeah. I want to know who started this whole like pushing up relievers trend, because it's gotten out of control at this point, though.
Well, it's just because of where we're at. That's all it is.
Right. It's like I just saw someone go pocket fireman and went 15 turn was a hater and Hendricks. I'm like, can we stop? Like, their ADP will be like 13 and 14 next year. Like, can we all just, like, as an industry, be like, all right, nobody can take a reliever before pick 50. It's just like, nobody, you know, make it so it's not, you know, an option. I'm just
kidding, but it's funny, because in my triple players ball draft, we have a little chat going, and we said we were going to agree that no one take a reliever until after the fifth round, and Hendricks,
that didn't happen.
Yeah, Hendricks and Hader both in the second. So
yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, I had to jump and get. Luckily, I got Edwin Diaz in the fourth because they were flying off at that point, which I hate doing. I hate going that high RP.
Right. That was me. I got Class A in the fourth. So yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
you have to do it.
But Chris, are you Burns or Cole, and how are you approaching pitching this year?
Yeah, I do think Cole gives a slight edge, and Michael brings a good point about the DH. And while I don't think it's a huge effect, it certainly is a little effect. And, you know, that could be enough to give Cole the edge there. So we've seen Cole be consistent over the years. We know he's durable. We know he's going to give innings, and we know what he's capable of. And yeah, he did, you know, have a little decline in the second half last year after the sticky stuff cracked down, but, you know, I'm convinced that he'll be fine. I think he's the best pitcher in baseball for a reason, and I'm going to stick with that. From a drafting standpoint, you know, I think you have to get him early. I played around with it actually in this draft because in the triple players ball that I was talking about, I'm picking out the 14 slot, started Tucker and Luis Robert, followed by Simeon in the third. And then, of course, I had to take Edwin Diaz in the fourth. So no starters through four rounds. Ended up with Flaherty and Montas in the fifth and sixth. I was hoping, like, I was pretty close, two picks from getting Freed there in the fifth was kind of the goal, to start out Freed and then get another solid arm, but just didn't work out. So arms are going to be pushed up, and, you know, I just wanted to experiment with it and see what I could build here going hitter early. But I do think it's pretty important to get an ace early, at least get one in the first two rounds, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think I put out a tweet about, I think there was, like, was it 14 or 15 arms that I felt good with being my ace. And, like, the last one, which was even a fringe inclusion, was Chris Sale. I don't even know if I'm fully comfortable with having him, you know, be my ace, but it was like, it ended with like that Logan Webb, Lucas Giolito range. Like, those guys I'd feel okay having as my number one. But after that, when you get down to like the Musgrove, Manoa, you know, that range, you know, they're very good. I'd rather have them, those guys, as my number two though. So, but with Burns and Cole, I mean, again, we're nitpicking, but I do lean Burns. I 100% agree that with the whole DH thing, but at the same time, you know, I would counter with that Burns has, I think, the easier, you know, division to pitch in. You know, the AL East is, you know, a notorious hitters division, hitting a lot of hitters ballparks up there, the Yankee Stadium and Fenway and Camden, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that might cancel it out. But again, we're nitpicking. I have them 1-2, and they're very close overall. So but I will lean Burns here. But with pitching, you know, we like to get a couple aces at the top, but there are some, obviously, there's a lot of risk with pitching, but especially with these next two arms, Shane Bieber and Jacob DeGrom, two pitchers that Dave McDonald will not be drafting this year at all, unless they fall to pick 450 for him. Michael, where would you feel okay drafting? You know, obviously, you know, DeGrom's coming, has the lingering elbow thing. How healthy will he be? Bieber's coming back from the shoulder issue. His velo was down end of last year, so where would you feel okay drafting these two, or are you just out in general?
So DeGrom, I would be okay taking him in, like, but it'll never happen, in like the late third to early fourth round.
Hey, where did where did we get him in Battle of the Pods? Fourth round, right?
Was it that league?
Oh, no.
Probably.
I mean, he has been dropping.
It's very possible.
You know,
we got him in one league at like
it was in league two that I, yeah, it was in league two. I got him in 50, I think.
Yeah, that one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, in Battle of the Pods, I started off pitcher RP, so there's no way I was taking him anyway.
Yeah, right.
Even if he fell, I couldn't. Yeah, so there I would take him. Bieber, I'm not touching. I don't fully trust a shoulder issue like his, especially when he came back and didn't play well at all, and his velocity was definitely down. Now, there's a counterpoint to that he really should have been in like single A rehabbing, but it was the end of the season. did it anyway. And that's probably why the velocity wasn't back, but it was still kind of down even compared to 2020 at the beginning of the year before he really got hurt. And yeah, he pitched well, but I just don't like to see my, who would be my ace, coming off a shoulder injury, an injury that can certainly happen again, that he could aggravate once again, and coming off a mile an hour, like lowered fastball at the beginning of the year, and then a fastball that was lowered 2 miles an hour at the end of the year. So I just feel like there's too many question marks there. And especially right now, you can't take him because we don't know what the heck's going on with him. If he comes in spring training and he's back throwing, I think it was like 93 or 94 miles an hour back to 2020, then that's probably a different story. Then he'd go on my board. I probably would take him still later than ADP. But as of right now, I can't touch him.
Yeah. And for reference, I asked Twitter polls on both of these. And for Bieber, 42% said top 40. While 20% said top 60, 11% 60 or later or not at all, and 27% still said top 25. For DeGrom, it was much more surprising. People are not worried about DeGrom at all. 42% still said top 20, 32% said top 35, 16% top 50, and then the remaining 10%, 51 plus or not at all. So that was very interesting that still top 20 was the winner there. Lauren, what are your thoughts on these two?
Yeah, I kind of agree with most of what Michael said. With Bieber, I'm completely out on him. I think you don't know what you're getting, and I think I probably won't be drafting DeGrom either. But I can see the case that's made for him, in the sense that there is a strong kind of track record, elite track record there. If he is, I mean, I don't think you should plan on full innings, but I can kind of get the argument that, you know, what you're getting will most likely be really good. But again, you don't know. And I think that I can get behind that argument in, it depends on what your format is. I think if you are in a shallow league, shallow redraft league, I can kind of be like, okay, get behind that. Or if you're in a league where you have lots of IL spots and you want to take a shot on DeGrom, I don't really have an issue with that. But I think that for me personally, I am out on both of these guys.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan. And we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Clegg, how about you?
It's interesting. I mean, I'm definitely out on DeGrom. I'm not out on Bieber personally.
Interesting.
I'm still drafting Bieber. I'm honestly not that concerned. I think I'm encouraged that we at least saw him back at the end of last year. And even though the velo was down, I think it's pretty clear that he could gain it back. Obviously, that's an assumption that he should, but even if the velo stays lower, I think he can be successful. I mean, if he sits, you know, around 92, I'm not overly worried. If it gets around 90, then maybe when we start, he was at 91 the last two starts. So if he can get that back up to 92, then I think he'll be fine. He was for reference, he was at 94 in 2020, but shortened season. And in 2019, he was right at 93 on the four seam. So, you know, getting back up that range, I don't think would be really difficult, because you bring up a good point, Michael. Like, he should have been rehabbing, you know, in minor league ball and working on that stuff. So I think the stuff's still there. The command's still there. Hopefully the shoulder's good to go. But yeah, I'd much rather have him than DeGrom, in my opinion.
Yeah, me too. Like, I'm Listen, I'm not 100%. I'm never 100% on anybody. Like, I've even drafted Mondesi in the past. I will draft anybody for the right price if they fall far enough. Yeah, so if DeGrom follows me, like, I think I'm in agreement with Michael. That kind of late third, early fourth range, I think they're at that point, their potential reward outweighs the risk. But if you have, if I had to pick one at ADP right now, which I wouldn't do at all, but if you made me, you know, DeGrom is at pick 24 on average and Bieber at 31. I would lean Bieber. I think there's a little less risk with Bieber. Obviously, they're both pretty risky, but I definitely would lean Bieber over DeGrom. But if I can, I'm either getting one of the you know, the six guys above them, meaning like Wheeler, Woodruff, Scherzer, Buehler, you know, Burns and Cole, or I'm waiting to the next tier we'll get into here in a second with guys like Julio Urias, Aaron Nola, Giolito, those types. So this kind of like middle, I don't know if it's like tier two or just like this middle tier between the top two tiers with these two guys. I don't like getting into this tier at all. Moving on to that next tier, though, we have a nice little cluster here in, you know, round three of your drafts, starting with Urias at pick 32, Aaron Nola right behind him, 0.05 behind the ADP, Sandy Alcantara, 35.4, Lucas Giolito, 36.8. And then it kind of drops off a little bit. So it's really those four right in a row. Lauren, who is your favorite target out of those four for 2022?
You know, it'd probably be Sandy Alcantara. I had lumped Logan Webb in there. I think he was the caboose of that for me, but I would have gone with Logan Webb, but I can go on the fly here with.
Go with Logan Webb. I love Logan Webb too. So yeah, go with him.
Okay. Yeah. No, I like him. I tend to be a kind of a sucker for ground ball pitchers that have kind of decent strikeout rates. And this is kind of essentially what Logan Webb is. He's not a huge strikeout guy, but, you know, he did end last season with, you know, 20.5% K minus walk rate, a 303 ERA, a 313 Sierra, and a 111 whip. You know, he had a ground ball rate that was just under 61% and a CSW rate that was just under 31%. You know, his sliders lights out, his fastball and changeup have plus vertical movement. You know, I think with Logan Webb, I don't know if there's a ton of upside, but I'm kind of buying into a part of this kind of, he's a part of the San Francisco Giants, which I think is a good organization that they've mm-hmm. shown for, you know, in terms of pitcher development. They seem to know what they're doing. So I don't know. I like him. He put in, what did he pitch? He pitched 148 innings last season. I don't know that you're going to get, say 180 innings out of him, but I think maybe something in kind of the 160, yeah. 170 maybe. And I like that. So I'm kind of all in on Webb this season.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. I think you can get close to 170 with him this year for sure. He seems like he's a guy that could take that next jump up there. And yeah, I do agree. I don't know if he's going to take that jump in performance and get up into the elite tier, but mm-hmm. I definitely think he could, you know, stick as like a, you know, back end ace for a long time. You mentioned the ground ball rate. He can miss bats. There's a lot of stuff you like there. And he would have led the league in the ground ball rate if it wasn't for Framber Valdez having like a 70 something, whatever.
Yeah, it was like 70%. It's ridiculous.
It's insane. Yeah. Like he led by like 9%, which is ridiculous. So, yeah, a lot of stuff that you like there with Logan Webb for sure. I love all these pitchers in general. But, Simeon, who's your favorite here?
Yeah, I went with Aaron Nola. It's just because, you know, we all know the underlying metrics look so much better than how he actually performed. Yeah. We all know what he's done in the past and how he could be a really good pitcher. And I actually talked about him on PitchCon. And I really think that the changing of the ball that MLB kept doing throughout the entire year really, really messed with Nola and his command. And we all know Nola needs command. You know, he relies on getting strikes up in the zone, getting called strikes low in the zone. And I think if I'm hoping, you would think MLB won't keep doing that with the baseball because it's just absolutely ridiculous. And I think it hurt a lot of command pitchers last year. So hopefully they pick one ball and stick with it and it'll help those guys out. And I also think a lot of people forget that Aaron Nola is going to get you a ton of innings and he's going to get you 200 strikeouts. He does it every single season.
Yep.
So even if his ERA isn't, you know, ridiculously low, even if it's like a 3.7 or a 3.8, he's still extremely valuable. Like, I feel like he has one of the highest floors of pitchers in this, you know, in this area of the draft, just because even if he doesn't perform that great, he's still going to bring a lot of value to your fantasy team by getting you those strikeouts and getting you those innings, sure, which you know he's no doubt going to get.
I wish he had a good defense behind him. Like, put him in St. Louis. He could push top five pitcher status this year. I really believe that. Like, that Philly defense was terrible, and that was a big reason. You know, it wasn't the 100% reason why, but look at all the ERA indicators were a good run or run, you know, 1.2 below his actual 4.63 ERA. Right. And he had the second best K minus walk rate of his career last year at, was that 24.6%, which is very good. So yeah, I'm definitely all in on Nola this year as well. Chris, who's your favorite target here?
Yeah, Nola's the only one I want in this tier, in my opinion. That's why I'd prefer to get one at the top, because I like the guys going a little bit later in this tier. But you mentioned, I mean, you said everything pretty well. From 2017 to 2020, Nola's ERA, 3.23. So you know what you're going to get out of him, even if it's not that low. All the ERA indicators you mentioned, 3.37. 3.37 X ERA, 3.37 FIP, 3.37 X FIP. And then a 3.26 Sierra. He had the lowest walk rate of his career. The command improved swinging strike rate. His strikeout rate was the highest of his career outside of 2020, which is a shortened season. In my opinion, this is an easy buy. I don't even think he needs a better defense to be a top five pitcher, because he's shown he can do that in the past. And if the strikeout stick, if the walk rate stays lower, I'm not concerned at all. So I'll have Nola on a lot of teams this year.
And it's just weird. Like, something was wrong there, but I felt like no one could figure it out, because I had him on so many teams, and every single start he was pitching through four innings with no earned runs and like six or seven strikeouts. And then all of a sudden, fifth inning, like, something happened with him and he just like lost it. And like, that happened so many times. I just feel like he's just still so close to being an elite pitcher. And it's just a matter of, you know, it kind of clicking, I think.
Yeah. I was at one of the, when I was down in Philly visiting friends and family, I was at a Aaron Nola start against Cincinnati. He had a leadoff shot to India, but after that, like, he settled down the next three innings, or he gave up a couple of hits and was at about four or five strikeouts. And that fourth, fifth inning, he just came unraveled. So yeah, definitely. I saw what you were saying firsthand. And it's funny to go back to how MLB was changing the ball. Like, can you imagine if any other sport did that midseason? Like, NHL, NHL is like, hey, we're going to use a slightly bigger puck now for the next 3 months. Right? But, you know, smaller basketball. Like, that was insane. So, I said to say that. But, I like a lot of the target. I love Aaron Nola. One I've been getting a lot of shares of, he's got another one in the triple players ball that earlier today was Sandy Alcantara. You know, I love Alcantara. He's a guy, he has basically all the things I look for in an ace. He gives you the volume. He was one of four starters last year with 200 innings. He had 204 innings last year. The ratios were good. And he just really, once he had a little pitch mix change later in the season, started using his slider a bit more. The whiff rate went up. You know, in 12 starts from 8-1 on, 3.04 ERA, 0.95 whip, 28.4% K rate, which it was kind of down closer to league average earlier on the season. 52% ground ball rate. He was getting 6.7 innings per start, which is great. And his ranks among pitchers with 40 plus innings in that time frame, there was 113 pitchers, 8th best swinging strike rate, 3rd best O swing, 13th lowest contact rate, 24th lowest Z contact, 14th best K rate, 8th best K minus walk rate. So I think if those stick and he continues to, you know, use that pitch mix that he used later in the season, I think you could see, you know, that late season dominance really sticking on. I think he could be more valuable than Zach Wheeler this year, or very close. I think they could be very close. And I love Wheeler too. So yeah, I'm definitely all in on Sandy Alcantara here. I think I have him in close to 50% of my league so far, I guess my ace. So yeah, definitely all in. Moving on here, a little bit further down, two of the breakouts from 2021, Kevin Gausman and Robbie Ray. Current ADP for this duo, Robbie Ray is at 45. Gausman, there he is at 66, a little further down. But, you know, there's a lot of, you know, differing opinions on these two, whether, you know, you should buy the 2021 breakout or not. Chris, I'll throw it over to you first. Are you buying Robbie Ray or Kevin Gausman at their ADP for 2022?
No, completely out on Kevin Gausman. I just don't believe that that can stick. He's going to the AL East, worst ballpark. I just don't like it. There's nothing in there that screams that he's going to stick, in my opinion. And so I'm avoiding Gausman at the cost. He's going a little high, and I had the chance to get him in a triple players ball, and I passed up on him. Yeah, I passed up on him in the sixth round. I just couldn't do it. I mean, ADP of 66 since January 1st. I don't love that at all. Ray, I actually don't mind. Ray is a pitcher that needed to do one thing, and that was to throw more strikes. And he did that last year. And I know it hurt him in the home run department some, but the strike rate was up significantly and it paid dividends. I mean, that's exactly what he needed to do. And he's moving to a pitcher's ballpark, and I think the Mariners are going to be a better team. So I haven't drafted him anywhere. I think the ADP is a little high for my liking, but I would prefer Ray to Gausman. And I know the ADPs are about 20 spots apart, but even then, I'd still prefer Ray at 45 to Gausman at 66.
Lauren, how about you?
I would probably sell both of these guys at their current rate. I think Chris covered it both well. I think with Gausman, I think that since 2019, he has made gains, and he's in K rate, swinging strike rate, his kind of CSW rates. I think he's noticeably been better than he was prior to that. Excuse me. But I don't think he's that much better where I can sit here and say I'm not concerned about him going back to the AL East. So, I'm kind of out on him. I think, and I'm also out on Ray. I think that, he had a very good, 2021, he was able to, cut his walk rates into half, to 6.7%. Prior to that, he's always carried double digit walk rates. but that also, he was pretty lucky. He had a 268 BABIP and a 90.1 left on base percentage. So, I don't know. I think, with him, there are guys, it's less that I'm kind of out on Ray and that I'm more interested in guys going behind him, like Freddie Peralta, Lance Lynn, Logan Webb. So those are guys that I would be choosing over him.
Oh, for sure. I love Freddie Peralta this year. Mm-hmm. He's another pitcher that I have a pretty high, a lot of shares of him, probably like 40%, mm-hmm. if I had to guess. Simeon, you on either of these duo here in 2022?
Yeah, I'm out on both of them. Robbie Ray, I mean, he's going to get you strikeouts, which is great. But I think he made the change to live inside the zone to cut that walk rate. But I think he's still doing it too much now. And his fastball does get crushed when he leaves it down middle. So I think that could come back to bite him a little bit this year, where I don't think his ratios are going to be as good. But I do think he's going to still be a good pitcher and still get you a ton of strikeouts. I just can't take him where he's going. I just think it's too early. As for Gausman, I've never been a fan. We all know about the whole splitter thing. I mean, sure, he could be an exception to the rule. But it still kind of scares me. Now he's, as Lauren mentioned, he's going to the AL East, which you got to worry about. He is weird. If you look at Savant's park factors, he's actually going to a better park.
Yeah, I saw that.
For
I saw
pitching. That. Well, it's because they put the humidor.
Yeah,
that's why.
It didn't affect Vladdy or Bo or Teoscar or any of them, though.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know if it was too small of a sample or maybe. I don't know what went on there. But I still don't. I can't trust him, because if that splitter goes away, still he's got a fastball and nothing else. He's really just a two pitch pitcher in my eyes, and that's a tough pill to swallow that early on in drafts.
Yeah, no, for sure. I kind of echo a lot of what all three of you said. Yeah, especially with it's more so the price. I don't think either of these two are going to be bad, but I think you're paying up for what they did last year, and I just don't think that's going to happen. You saw all the ERA indicators for both were more so in the mid three range. There wasn't a big, difference in the underlying metrics for Kevin Gausman last year compared to previous years. So I don't think either can stick down at the ERA they showed last year, more mid threes. Again, I think they'll be good. I think they'll still be, top 25, top 30 arms, somewhere in that range. But yeah, like Lauren said, there's just a lot of other pitchers in that the range where they're going. Like Logan Webb is right in the middle of him, those two. I love Logan Webb. So does Lauren, obviously. You know, Chris Sale is in the middle of these two. Lance Lynn, Max Fried's another one in that range. So there's a lot of other arms I just like more that I'll be targeting. So I think everybody will be, there's at least one person in every draft I'll be in that will be targeting these two much higher than I want to. So yeah, I'm definitely out on both as well. Let's wrap up the top 100 here with our favorite value inside the top 100. Maybe it's someone we've already talked about, someone going to the back end. Michael, who is your who do you think is the best value inside the top 100 this year in drafts?
So my pick's going to be Charlie Morton.
Yes,
love
it.
Since 2018, he's pitched 585 innings with a 3.28 ERA and a 1.11 whip, as well as a 29 strikeout rate. So, yeah, he's just super solid. I know a lot of people are like, well, he got hurt, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but it's not an arm injury, so it doesn't really worry me, honestly.
It's a freak injury.
The fastball was actually kind of going back towards 96 miles an hour, which is great. You know, we all know he has the most beautiful curveball in all of Major League Baseball. And I mean, even if you look at projections, they as well kind of agree. I mean, 100 ATC has him for roughly 170 innings with a 3.6 ERA and a 1.17 whip.
Yeah, no, Charlie Morton is great. I saw both the Atlanta Braves fans in the house shaking their head. Yes, I think they agree with you there. Lauren, who's your favorite value pick in the top 100?
My favorite value pick is Luis Castillo. You know, he's going at 80, about around 84, 85 ADP. So he's kind of just inside that 100 mark. And he's someone that I think that he's been dropping. I know for one reason, I've always been a big fan of him. Again, you're getting another ground ball pitcher here with a 26.2% career K rate. You know, and his issue, and I think it scares people, he has really bad like starts to the season. You know, and I've seen it written up. It's not clear to me whether it's just because he's a slow starter or if it's the cold weather or if it's maybe a combo of both. And he had a really bad start this past season in 2021. So I don't know if people are, and I mean, he does have, I guess, some command issues, but you know, he had a much better second half than first half of the season last year. And I just think that he's someone that I know you can get innings from. I think, like I said, he has a decent K rate. I think that you just maybe have to think that you just watch that start of the season. And I would love to see if he moved out of Cincinnati. I think that that's even more arrows up, but I'm taking him still at Cincinnati. I like him. You get the innings. Luis Castillo would be, he's my value pick.
I think what's interesting, and people kind of forget though, like everyone says cold weather, slow starter for Castillo, but in 2019, I just looked up quick because I felt like I remembered this. Mm-hmm. In 2019, in April, he had a 1.45 ERA in seven starts. So yeah, there's kind of that narrative with him, but I mm-hmm. feel like he has pitched really well in April before. So mm-hmm. why can't it happen again?
Yeah,
that's fair. Chris, I have a feeling I can almost guarantee you're gonna pick one of two guys. Let's see if I'm right. Who's your? It's either gonna be Max Fried or Jack Flaherty. Am I right?
No, it's Joe Musgrove, baby.
Oh, Musgrove.
Joe Musgrove is a great value. He had a 3.18 ERA last year. He made tangible change. I think he's gonna stick near 30% strikeout rate, and he's going right now around pick 71. He has been moving up a little bit this draft season, but I love getting Joe Musgrove as SP2. You're at to pay up a little bit. I think he just went 55 in the DCM in right now. So I think that was the new min, but I love him. I think that everything that he did can stick, even if he has a slight regression. I still think he's a mid threes ERA type, and the strikeouts are there. The command's there. He's gonna be a fine pitcher, and I think he's being slightly undervalued. So if I can get him around pick 70, I'm gonna do that all day long.
Yeah, Musgrove is a guy I think I'm higher on the most as well. I think I think you and I were like two of the higher ones in the Fantrax staff rankings, which I should actually pull up, and I can right now. That Lauren was also a part of.
For what it's worth, I saw Eno tweeted about it today about his rankings with like the stuff plus, command plus, all that stuff, and he had Joe Musgrove as his 10th starting pitcher. So that could easily lead Musgrove to ADP to take a big jump there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chris, you were the highest. Chris, you had him at 14, and I had him at 16. So you were, where did Lauren, where did you have
him? Where did I have him? I'm a little bit lower on most girls.
23. Yeah. It's still good. Still good. Yeah. That's out of the range he's in. He's probably like 20th, give or take a few spots out of the way. So, yeah, definitely like Musgrove a good amount as well. I'm going to go Trevor Rogers here. I think if he didn't miss time, you know, he missed like a month or month and a half, whatever it was, about 6-7 starts, you know, near the end of last season for a personal issue he had going on. If he didn't miss that time, I bet you his ADP would probably be a good 20 spots higher than it is right now, because he looked very, very good last year. 2.64 ERA in 25 starts, had a 1.15 whip, 28.5% K rate, 20.1% K minus walk rate. All of his ERA indicators were in the, you know, 3.3 range, so a little higher. I don't think he's going to be a 2.6 ERA, you know, pitcher again, but he's a very good fastball. Locates it very well, has good command of it, can miss bats with it as well. You know, can miss bats with his changeup and slider as well, at a 40.8% whiff rate on the slider, 33.7% whiff rate on the changeup, which is his best pitch last year, 199 batting average against on the change. So I like a lot of what I'm buying the cool. I'm drinking that Kool-Aid down there in Miami with pitchers. I said Sandy Alcantara, now Trevor Rogers. I'll definitely be getting a lot of Trevor Rogers this year as well. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side and get into some more pitcher talks. Don't go anywhere.
Want to create a breakthrough gene therapy or life-saving vaccine? Pioneer aerospace excellence? Take your hospitality tech brand international? Montgomery County, Maryland is where you can do all that and more. Use our ideal location next to DC, diverse world-class talent, and our vast business resources to be the next company to make your mark and transform the world. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com. That's bnext.thinkmoco.com to learn how we can help you create something remarkable.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. Welcome back from the break. Let's get in some ADP 101 to 150. A lot of additional intriguing names in this range, including a lot of young pitchers here. Four in general you want to talk about here. Alek Manoah, he's actually going a little bit before 100, but I lumped him in with these guys. Alek Manoah, Shane Boz, Shane McClanahan, and Logan Gilbert. Apparently that's a tongue twister for me. Four very talented young arms all showed, you know, pretty good promise last year. Manoah especially. Boz came up for a trio of starts end of last season. Lauren, I'm calling you Logan now.
Logan.
I'm getting all tongue-tied.
Logan Auerbach.
Logan Auerbach. I'm getting all tongue-tied here from Logan Gilbert, I guess. Mm-hmm. Are you in on any of these four at their ADP? So, which is, Manoah is at 96, McClanahan 103, Shane Boz 122, and Logan Gilbert 138. Are you targeting any of those four this year?
I'm kind of in on all of them, honestly. I these are all guys that, you know, having done a handful of drafts, they're all targets of mine. I think that there's a lot of potential in these guys. And I think that the one that may fall a little bit, depending on kind of the format that I do, like if I did a draft and hold, then, Boz probably goes a little bit later just because, you know, kind of innings concerns, but I really like all these guys, and I'm taking all of them at their ADP.
Simeon, how about you?
Yeah, I like all of them as well. I think Manoah has three really good pitches with an insanely good slider. His in-zone whiff rate was just as good as Garrett Cole's. I really like Shane Baz. I mean, the fastball is amazing. I think the only question with him is the innings limit, obviously.
Yeah.
McClanahan, too, I really like him as well. Finished the season with really good underlying numbers. I know that fastball was a little shaky and did let up some hard contact, but his stuff plus rating was higher than Zach Wheeler's last year. And Logan Gilbert, I love him. Really good fastball, two great breaking pitches. I think he finally figures out that pitch mix this year and definitely takes a step forward.
Clegg, you winning all of these guys as well?
Honestly, I'm not drafting Boz, even though I think Boz can be a top 10 caliber arm because of innings. I don't trust the Rays. I think they could start him in the minor leagues for all we know, which would be nuts, but crazier things have happened. I don't really see him breaking 120 innings. So that's my only concern with him. Which
you got to build around him.
Yeah. I think you can get a really good 120 innings, but I don't know. Yeah. At that price, I'm not sure I want 120 innings. I do like Gilbert a lot. He made some great changes down the stretch and was pretty stellar in September. Flew under the radar, but his swinging strike rate in September jumped to 14.4%. So that's pretty dang good there. And, low walk rate as well. McClanahan, you mentioned the whiff rates on all of his pitches are extremely good. And that's also something that stands out with him. I think he had, So he almost had three pitches with a 40% whiff rate. The slider was at 39.9. And he had the curve and changeup over 40 there. So really solid with McClanahan and Manoah. Yeah, I mean, I think Manoah's capable. We saw what he was capable of and really do think that he could take another step forward and be a top 15 arm.
Yeah, I like all four of these, especially the two Shanes. I wrote an article about them on Fantrax HQ about a week ago. Yeah, you mentioned that's one thing I included in that article was that McClanahan was just that 0.1% off of being the third pitcher last year to have three offerings with a 40% whiff rate or better. Simeon, I'm putting you on the spot. Who were the other two that had three pitches with a 40% whiff rate last year?
DeGrom?
Nope.
What? Did he not? Maybe he didn't meet the minimum.
Yeah, he probably didn't meet the
minimum. I don't even think it was that. Let me look it up, though. But yeah, he was
not. I feel like they're weird because you're asking me. All right, I'm going to take
what
Freddy Peralta? Freddy Peralta?
Nope.
Okay. Dang, that's a good guess.
One of his teammates, though.
Corbin Burns.
Yeah.
Is Cole one?
Nope, Cole was not one.
I was going to say, I don't think it would be him either.
And no, DeGrom missed on his fastball. DeGrom had two that were over 40, but the fastball was only 30.
Yeah,
only
and DeGrom's two over 40 were 47.3 and 58.1.
Yeah, ridiculously high.
He doesn't need to be over 40 right with the fastball.
I'll give you one hint. David Mendelsohn is very, very high on this guy.
That gave us
Cease.
Yeah, it was Dylan Cease. He was the other. Cease. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but McClanahan was almost a third. Like I said, missed by 0.1. So I'm in on him. I think he could be, I don't think he'll be a great ratios guy. I think he'll be okay, like mid 3 year, right type of guy. But yeah, I think the K rate can be very, very high. Like I said in my article, I think he can be similar to another former, hard throwing lefty with good breaking stuff that used to be in Tampa Bay in Blake Snell. I think he could be a similar type of pitcher long term. Shane Baz, I'm all in on Shane Baz. And yeah, the innings limit is definitely a concern. It's Tampa Bay, but I also think that with a strong showing in spring training, he could definitely, I wouldn't put it out of the possibility that he wins a rotation spot because the back end is like, it's true. Rasmussen, he's fine. Luis Patino, he's fine. Shane Baz is much better than both those two guys.
So he's definitely better.
Yeah.
But does that mean though?
Oh yeah.
I mean, right. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? I'm saying it's possible. Yeah. Regardless, I don't think even if he starts in rotation, I think his absolute ceiling is probably like 140 for innings. And he's probably closer to 120. But like you said, Chris, it could be elite 120 innings, like all the improvements last year, the strike throwing, the command. He has four pitches he can miss bats with, the heater, curve, slider, and his changeup is his quote-unquote worst pitch. That's still a pretty solid pitch. That's at least a major league average offering. So, yeah, I'm definitely in on all of these guys as well. Moving on here, one more in this range that is a pretty intriguing arm. Zach Gallen, had some good stuff in 2019, 2020, and the last year was dealing with an elbow injury. So his ADP is, it's fallen, but not as much as I thought it would. He's still going off the board at pick. Where'd he go? Wait, at 130 overall. right in between guys like Pablo Lopez. So that's too high for Pablo Lopez. Tyler Molly is kind of the guy I like in that range. Carlos Rodon and Sean Manaea are going right after Zach Gallen. Michael, are you in or out on Zach Gallen at that ADP this year?
Yeah, I have a weird relationship with Zach Gallen. I like go back and forth with him constantly. I will say when he came back from his injury, he did look healthy. I think he did perform better. But then on the other side of it, it's kind of weird. He went fastball heavy. I don't know why. I don't know if he was trying to compensate for something. I just think overall is a very weird season for him. But with all that said, he does have a career 3.46 ERA, right? So he's typically very good. So I don't know. Some days I like him. Some days I don't. The worst answer I could possibly give you. So
it depends
on the day. Right now, I don't think I would, but you could ask me tomorrow and I'll probably be like, yeah, I'll get him.
Yeah, we'll have you back on next week. Your answer will be
all right. Sounds good.
Lauren, how about you? Are you in on Gallen this year?
I would say I think so. I mean, I'm a little bit less wishy-washy than Michael, but I'm like, I think I am. You know, I think that there is some injury concern. But you know, he was still able to turn out 121 innings last season. And he did come out. I think the thing for me is that he was able to kind of, you know, log those innings, and he came out really strong at the tail end of the season, especially in his last eight starts. You know, he had a 3.19 ERA, 1.13 WHIP, and you know, he has this pretty deep arsenal. So I think that the stuff's there, the pitches are there. I think, also in this, one thing is that Dr. Dave McDonald is in on Gallen, and we all know that he's one of the most risk averse fantasy players. So I kind of am like, if Dr. Dave is in, then I'm in. So I think I am in on Gallen actually now.
who do we think Dr. Dave is? Who's behind the Dr. Dave account? I still think it's Kerwin, but you know.
No, I don't think it is, because I side chatted Kerwin and he would have told me, because he told me when he was the microwave.
Did he ever admit that?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Not publicly.
Anyway,
now it's public.
But I don't think it's him. I think I don't know. I kind of feel like I have a weird feeling it's Justin.
It could be Dave himself. I'm not ruling out Dave being behind the fake Dave account.
I don't think Dave
is that creative.
Maybe not, but yeah, no. Justin is high up on my power rankings here as well. Zach Waxman as well. But you listen to that episode he did where he pieced together bits of Dave McDonald saying things into a podcast. Did you listen to that, Michael?
No,
you didn't hear that podcast he put out when he had Dr. Dave on as a guest.
I started it and realized what it was, and like, yeah, I didn't really listen though.
I listened for a few minutes, but it was pretty funny. I'll give him that. Was very creative. Where were we? Oh yeah, Zach Gallen.
I'm ready to answer.
Chris, hop in there.
Yes, I'm ready to answer because I'm all in on it. All right, what you need to know is from July 30th on that Zach Gallen threw the most pitches of any pitcher in baseball. If you look at his starts, 108, 99. 103, 101, 108, 94, 103, 96, 94, 101, 109, 100. There shouldn't be any injury concerns when they're letting them pitch like that. Lauren mentioned the arsenal being extremely good. And you look at the whiff rates on him. I mean, the fastball was meh, and he did throw it a little too much, I think. But still, he only had 2.17 ERA, or sorry, 2.17 batting average against on that pitch. And he had whiff rates above 32% on the changeup, curveball, and slider. Also mixes in the cutter. So the deep arsenal, he's got the ability to get whiffs, and I'm not concerned at all about his innings next year. So at this price, I'm drafting him. I want him in every draft because the value's too good. He's young. He's got a new pitching coach, Brent Strom. We saw what he did in Houston.
Yes, I was going to mention that, yeah.
And I just think that we're going to see the Zach Gallen that we thought was a third rounder, you know, the previous year. Like, he's going to come back, and you know, I want that on all my teams.
That's why I have a lot of Luke Weaver.
I've been getting Luke Weaver and some of those other Arizona arms late. And now they just signed Dan Straley. That could be a late DC target there. Obviously, he was dominating overseas. So, yeah, I'm also all in on Zach Gallen. I've always been a Zach Gallen guy. You know, one thing I've always loved about him that Chris mentioned a little bit was his deep arsenal. He has five pitches that he throws to both, you know, both righties and lefties. You know, he's got that slider, cutter, curve, change, fastball. So you really can't square up anything on him. You really got to be ready for five different offerings that are all pretty damn good. Like the cutter didn't have great numbers on it. And he have a, you know, a random 667 slugging on the slider, even though it was only a 250 batting average against, but three pitches that he can miss bats with above 30% and the changeup, curve and slider. Yeah. Fastball was pretty solid last year as well. Yeah. I definitely like Gallen. Love the new pitching coach. It's a good pitching environment out there in Arizona. Maybe you won't get a lot of wins because they'll be terrible, but you know, wins are fluky. We saw Brent Suter get 12 wins as a reliever this last year. So you never know, but yeah, I'm definitely all in on Zach Gallen this year. Moving on to ADP 151 to 200. We have three names going in this range: Ranger Suarez, Michael Kopech, and Tarik Skubal, that are all pretty intriguing. You know, Suarez had a dump, was one of the best pitchers in baseball coming on the stretch last year. Kopech has huge breakout potential. And a lot of people like to think that Skubal has a lot of breakout potential, but I'm going to give it over to Michael Semien here. That's going to tell you why that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I just think people didn't realize how atrocious that four seam really is. It was like arguably worse than the league in terms of hard contact numbers and all that stuff. It was not a good pitch at all. And not only that, he suffered from command issues on all of his pitches. I felt like, you know, I did a little deep dive on him on SPStreamer.com, and there is a lot of bad there. I do think, though, there is a lot of good there as well, where I think like in 2 years, he can be a really, really good pitcher. He has a ton of strikeout potential.
Yeah.
But I just think this year only in redrafts, there's just way too much for him to work on to take him where he's going right now. You know, if it was like much later, I could see you taking a shot, but where he's going right now, I just think it's too pricey because a lot of people love him and a lot of people are buying into being a sleeper. So he's really getting pushed up in drafts. As for Kopech, love Kopech, really good fastball, high velocity. Might be a bit of a two pitch pitcher in my opinion, with some inning concern, but I think he's kind of priced appropriately where I would take a shot on him. And then Suarez, again, he was really good last year. He does rely heavily on command. It's not like he has really good stuff in terms of getting strikeouts. But he was like top of the league in wOBA against, barrel percentage against, anything in contact, you name it, he was towards the top. So he clearly knows what he's doing and he's more of a crafty pitcher. Kind of like what Kyle Hendricks was for years. So I do like Suarez where he's going.
If you were to take one of these three, Michael, who would you take?
I would take a shot on Kopech just because of the high strikeout upside.
Yep, same here. And I do think, yeah, that I've seen him, he's shown a good curveball and changeup in the minors too. Yeah, inconsistently, but I think if he can establish one of those two offerings to go with that fastball and that slider could be one of the best in baseball. It's an absolutely filthy slider, always has been, always will be. Yeah, I definitely love Kopech. I'm not really buying Suarez. I mean, I think he'll be fine. I think he's going way too high. You're paying for, you know, a good amount of what he did last year, and I just don't think he can replicate that. And yeah, Skubal is a guy that I was not that high on as a prospect. Like I always had him like third out of three of the, you know, the big three there with, along with Casey Mize and Matt Manning. Then I kind of got in on him a little bit more, but yeah, I'm not really in on him, at least not at his price. You mentioned that fastball was terrible. 291 batting average against, 611 slugging against, 413 wOBA, 92.5 exit velocity. And yeah, the command is terrible. Look at his Savant page. Go look at the slider. He hangs way too much. The changeup is all over the place. Curveball is not great. It's just like maybe the sinker has some solid, you know, it's a good little, you know, heat map on the sinker, but everything else is not great. So yeah, I am not in on Skubal. If he fell like, you know, closer to pick 200, maybe just because of the strikeouts. But yeah, I'm not in on Skubal. So yeah, I would definitely go Kopech as well out of this trio. Lauren, how about you?
Same. I'd go Kopech as well. And I kind of line up. I'm out on Skubal, in on Kopech. You know, I think that there's just, especially, obviously, we're assuming that he's in the rotation there, right? Yeah. You know, because that strikeout and whiff potential is too good. And Suarez, I'm in on. He's really interesting, though, because You know, he's someone who went from like the bullpen to the rotation, but he was able to maintain kind of these gains. He doesn't walk batters. Like Michael said, he's kind of more of a finesse pitcher. You know, he gets a lot of weak contact. So I am in on him, but I can kind of see him blow up a little bit. And, you know, like we talked about, that Philly defense isn't the greatest behind him. So, but I don't know. I'm kind of willing to give him a little bit of a shot, but I can totally see if he blows up, I guess. So I don't know what that means, really.
No, I hear you. I'm kind of in the same line of thinking. Chris, how about you?
Yeah, I don't have much to add. I'm not touching Skuball. I probably wouldn't touch him even if he's top, if going at around 250. I'm looking, Steven Matz is going 252. I think I'd rather have Matz, Skuball. Mm-hmm. Yep. Kind of crazy. That's where I'm at. Aaron Ashby, 259, rather have him than Skuball. I can keep going down, but I'm not. I do like Kopech. There's just so many more intriguing arms below Skuball, and I don't really get the reason he's been pushed up so much. It's interesting. I mean, after how poor of a season he had, I don't really get it personally. But
it's because strikeouts are sexy. But as we've seen, sexy doesn't always win fantasy championships. Mm-hmm. So
no, you can find strikeouts late if you want strikeouts. Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of bad pitchers that can strike people out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's an easy no for me. And Kopech, I do think Kopech can be solid. I don't know how many innings he'll throw, but I think he's in that rotation. And he's definitely got upside to be a high-end arm. We've seen that in the minors. I think that he's just kind of scraping the surface of what he can be. So I do like Kopech.
I think Kopech is almost as good of a pitcher as Shane Baz and someone you can get 50 picks later. I think they could return similar value. I do like Shane Baz a little bit more. I think he's a more complete pitcher, and he's shown the command and control improvements that Kopech really hasn't yet, or he's hinted at him a little bit, but I think he could take that next step. Absolutely. A few more that are really interesting in this range. We'll kind of go through them a little bit quicker here. Two that are very intriguing that I've been scooping up a lot, going right around pick 200, Patrick Sandoval and Jordan Montgomery, ADP 196 and 198. Lauren, are you buying both these guys at this ADP?
I am. I like both of these guys a lot. You know, with Sandoval, again, it's like this theme with me. You know, it's the ground ball pitcher who puts up nice K numbers. He put up a career best swing strike rate last season, 15.2%, as well as CSW rate of 31. He does, you know, so I mean, his metrics are good, but he does have some command issues. He did up his changeup usage last season, and that's his money pitch. And so that's fared pretty well. It has a 139 batting average against it, and 51.4% whiff rate. And his slider is also effective. And that has a 188 batting average against it, as well as a 38.3% whiff rate. And, you know, I think in terms of Jordan Montgomery, you know, I'm in on him as well. It's funny, you look at his 2017 season prior to him having the first Tommy John surgery, and it's very similar to the season that he just put up in 2021. And so I think that he definitely, this is a baseline that you can see from him. And I think that he could do better because his changeup this season, because his changeup and his curve are both, you know, they're really good pitches. The whiff rates are in the 40% neighborhood. And, you know, his sinker is not that great. It gets hit at the tune of a 359 batting average against it, but he's still throwing it 22% of the time. So I think maybe if he makes some changes there, you know, I think he's really close to unlocking a really big breakout season this season.
Chris, how about you?
Yeah, Sandoval's an easy buy. I mean, if he had qualified, his swinging strike rate would have been sixth best in baseball. That's pretty dang good going around pick 200. You even put out a tweet the other day about starters with individual pitch batting average, you know, below 125, slug below 250, and the whiff rate above 50%. And Sandoval's changeup is there. It's such a good changeup.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and I think the arsenal is just well-rounded enough where he's going to be fine. The fastball is just an okay pitch. I mean, I wonder, I'm just curious about the injury. I know we hadn't heard a lot, but I assume he's going to be fine for next year. And I just think that Sandoval could be a huge breakout next year. And I've seen some call him the Robbie Ray, you know, for 2022. And I think we could see him make a big jump like that. And, you know, Montgomery, I've always loved just because he's a South Carolina Gamecock and, you know, going back to the days watching him in college, but he's really evolved. I mean, we've seen something out of him that he's really taken steps forward. And, you know, I'm in on him. I think the price is right. And even though he pitches in the AL East in Yankee Stadium, still posting solid numbers, you know, solid arsenal, the changeup and curve are both really, really good pitches. The fastball is a little shaky, and sinker, four seam, whatever he throws, both a little shaky, but when you throw your best pitches the most, then you can get away with that. So, and that's what he does exactly with the changeup and curve. So, both interesting pitchers, both similar in some ways, and both guys that I do like at the price.
If you had to pick one, who would you go with?
Sandoval, I think, has a little more upside.
Yeah, I agree there. I like both. I included Montgomery in my starting pitcher targets after pick at the time they were going after pick 200. He's since moved up. But yeah, I should have included Sandoval. I'll admit, Sandoval is a guy that I like. I've been a bit lower on, but I kind of like more and more every time I kind of dig into his metrics. But it's funny, whenever I go to look at his Savant page, I'd say 60% of the time I type in Pablo Sandoval instead of Patrick Sandoval. I don't know.
I thought I clicked on Patrick. I clicked on Pablo. I was like, that's
well, it's not even that. I actually literally will type Pablo thinking I'm typing Patrick. I don't know why, but I do that over half the time. Just kind of, I always get a good chuckle out of that. But yeah, that changeup is absolutely, it's one of the best pitches in baseball, period. Not just changeups, best pitches in baseball, period. Like Chris, you mentioned that tweet I did. It's an elite pitch. And the slider is pretty good as well. 188 batting average against, 38.3% whiff rate. You know, both the sinker and the four seamer are kind of meh, but if he can take steps forward and with those two pitches and still have that elite changeup and a pretty good slider, curveball is not great either. Curveball had a 467 batting average against and 800 slugging, though it's his least used pitch. Maybe he drops that. Who knows? But yeah, I like both these guys. Montgomery had a great swing and strike late last year. Chris mentioned the curve and the changeup are both very good offerings. That sinker is just terrible. I hope he scraps that sinker. The four-seamer is a bit better than the sinker. So, but yeah, definitely like Montgomery. I'm surprised with him being a Yankee that he's not getting pushed up more. So, yeah, I will lean Montgomery here, but I like both at their ADP this year. Simeon, how about you?
Yeah, I like both of them as well. I mean, you all kind of said it. I mean, their breaking balls are just ridiculous. I would lean Montgomery, though, because I think he's closer to taking that next step a little bit than Sandoval. And we also got to think too, I mean, are the Angels going to go six man rotation? Are they going to limit his innings? I think the Yankees are going to have to rely on Montgomery because their rotation has high injury risk. And then also to something that I discovered when I was preparing for another podcast was from July 22nd on, Montgomery had 12 starts, and he was mainly using his breaking balls. And in those starts, he had a 3.24 ERA, and 9 of those 12 starts, he allowed one run or fewer.
Wow.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. And he also has consistently made a fundamental change by furthering his extension towards the plate every single year. So I think he's just getting there. I will say in that stat though, that I just said about those 12 starts, he did have one start where he let up like 6 runs, but yeah, so that doesn't make the stat as much fun. But yeah, I would lean Montgomery over Sandoval, but they're both really good. And I have multiple shares of both of them.
Yeah. Absolutely. Moving on, ADP 201 to 300. We'll pick up the pace here as we round out the show. The one, before we give our favorite targets here in these next ADP ranges, the one name I wanted to talk about a little bit, though, was Jesus Luzardo. He's probably the name that gets talked about the most on social media in this group after, you know, a terrible, terrible season last year. 661 ERA through 95 and a third innings. But always, he was one of the top pitching prospects in baseball coming up through the Oakland system. Now gets over to Miami, where he showed some improvements last year. Still has, you know, the very good breaking ball, 42.4% on the curve, 188 batting average against, changeup commits bats as well. But again, another sinker, four seamer that both need to improve. They both got hit very hard, batting average against above 330 on both, and slugging against above 600 on both. So he'll have to really, you know, fix this. But again, I'm drinking the Miami Kool-Aid, so I'm definitely in on his ADP at, he's going near 300 now, 294. I think that's definitely very appropriate, and definitely think he could, like, outperform that by a good 100 picks this year. Lauren, are you drinking the Lizardo Kool-Aid as well, or no?
Yeah, I am. I think that, you know, he's a former top prospect. He's still young. He's 24 years old, you know, and I think that he's in the right place at the right time to in terms of turning things around. We talked about, the Marlins kind of having really good pitching, development kind of crew. And, you talked about he's got a solid pitch mix. You broke it down well. And he's got, that 95.8, fastball velo, which is good. He does have some command issues. But I think that why not at this price? I think that sometimes in the fantasy community, we're really quick to write off young players that just haven't really put it together. But I'm not sure that, looking kind of, at his time in Oakland, that he's really had kind of time to be kind of consistent. And, baseball is a game of adjustments. And I'm not sure that he's really kind of had the time to do that. And I think that he can do that in Miami.
Yeah, very well said. Michael, how about you?
Yeah, he's tough. I mean, he's kind of just a mess right now. He still has that really, really good slider, though. I honestly just think he's a toss-up. But I think he's worth going after because we all know his upside. He's now with an organization who has done very well at developing starting pitching lately. And he does still have a ton of movement on his pitches, too. So I feel like, especially where he's going, it's like, why not take a shot? I think it kind of depends on team need as well. I mean, if you do need some of the high floor, obviously he's not the one to go to. But if you have really solid pitching depth at this point and you want to take a shot on someone who could maybe take that next step and help you win some leagues, then Lizardo's definitely a solid option.
Yeah, and if you want that high floor guy, someone going about 10 picks earlier, terrible 2021, but Kyle Hendricks is pretty affordable.
I have a bunch of them.
Yeah, I don't think, he's completely done. Maybe he's not quite as good as he, was, a few years ago. But for 285 with that consistency, I'll get all the shares I can of Kyle Hendricks. Chris, how about you? Are you in on Lizardo this year?
Yeah, it's pretty easy for me to be at the price. You mentioned, I think there's certainly risk and there could certainly go a couple ways. But we've seen what he can do in the minors, being one of the best pitching prospects in baseball. The slider's still an elite pitch. I think the fastball is easily a plus pitch. And I believe that the Marlins can develop the changeup, which is kind of the missing link. He ended the season on a really, really solid note with that 11K game over 5 1/3 innings against Philadelphia. So that was a fun way to end the season for him on a high note. I'm surprised I didn't shoot his value up, honestly, knowing how some fantasy drafters are. But yeah, I don't think you can beat the price for the upside you can get with him.
For sure, for sure. All right, we'll go rapid fire here to close out the show because Grandpa Simeon over there is about to fall asleep. He has to go take his Metamucil.
I didn't say anything. Metamucil.
Take your Metamucil and your giant pills and go to sleep there. All right, so we'll go with rapid fire here, give quick analysis. Lauren, who is your favorite pitcher, ADP 201 to 300?
I'm going Alex Wood. It's more of a floor play, but it's kind of a high floor play. I think that he pitched really well. He had a career season last year, I believe, in that this San Francisco Giants, pitching development. And, he's got a good kind of sinker slider combo. And he's missing kind of a third pitch, but he could be missing some innings due to some health issues, but I think that that's baked in with his price. And I think that you can get, probably like maybe 140 innings out of him. So I'm interested in Alex Wood.
Michael, who is yours and why are you going with a homer pick in Tyler McGill?
My pick's Tyler McGill.
I don't know. I saw his name on there. He's a man. I'm like, he's going McGill. No, I don't know.
I mean, the problem with him is we don't know if he's going to be in the rotation. But I mean, they also have a lot of risk in their with their starting rotation. So he could easily he'll get innings. But yeah, it's Tyler McGill. I just love his stuff.
I was right. Yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It is Tyler McGill. His fastball is really good. I think he's got some good breaking balls to him. I found an interesting stat that starters with a first strike rate over 62%, so that means getting a strike on your first pitch, and a put away rate over 45%, which means getting players out. The pitchers who met that criteria was Julio Urias, Gerrit Cole, Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, and Tyler McGill.
I do like McGill too. I was giving you crap, but I do like Tyler McGill, especially with this price going near pick three. He's going right around the same spot as Luzardo. So yeah, definitely a good pick. All right, Chris, let's see if I can go back to back here. Chris, tell us why your pick is going to be, oh, who's Chris taking here? Oh, I don't know. Hold on. Give me a second here. No, no, no. Why is it going to be John Gray?
What the heck? It was John Gray. I'm not going to. I haven't even talked about him that much for you to know. So it's not like I'm talking overhyped.
These are not on the show sheet. These three can attest to this.
My response should be telling about that. Okay. I mean, John Gray, New Home Park, which plays favorable to pitchers. I know people are going to pull the card. Well, he wasn't good on the road in Colorado, but what you have to understand is that people that play for Colorado have to totally change the way they do things at home and on the road. It totally affects them when they go on the road, and you have to pitch differently at home. So John Gray was pitching two different ways, home and away. Now he's not going to have to do that. He's going to have to pitch one way for the entire season. And you go back, and John Gray was an elite prospect in the draft. He was an elite prospect in general. And then he got rockied. I mean, what Rockies pitcher doesn't get rockied? And so now he's out of Coors Field. He's in Texas and absolutely love it. So pick 250. I'll take John Gray all day.
Yeah, me too. I love John Gray there. I will go with another guy with the last name Gray and go Josiah Gray of the Nats. ERA wasn't great, so that kind of has suppressed his draft cost this year. 5.40 ERA through 70 and two-thirds last year, but he pitched better than that ERA would indicate, and he had two pitches with a 45% whiff rate or higher. Slider was at 45 on the dot, and curveball was at 47.8. And both had a batting average against under 200 and a slug under 400 and a wOBA under 260. So two very good breaking balls there. Walk rate was a little higher than he had shown in the minor leagues. It was 10.7% last year. So I think that can come back down to, you know, 7-8% range that he showed throughout the both the Dodger and the Reds minor leagues organization. So I think there's some nice breakout potential here, and you can get him near pick 300 overall. So I will go with the other Gray and go Josiah Gray. Going 301 to 400. Simeon, who's your favorite target there?
It's definitely not Sixto Sanchez.
Do we have time to get in on this?
No, we don't have time. I need to go to bed. My favorite target, I want to just go with Dane Dunning. I think the sinker is okay, but he intrigues me with his breaking balls. They both had a swing strike percentage over 18% last year. The slider is just really good. It's really good at getting hitters to chase outside the zone, as well as having a high whiff rate inside the zone. He gets a ton of movement. I think he's got really good command. I just think he, you know, good ballpark too. Maybe if he just happens to put all of it together, I think he could put out a really good season.
Lauren, who's your person here?
Yeah, I would take a dart throw on Luis Patino. I know it's the Rays, so I think that you may have to build for that. But in terms of innings, but he did pitch 77 innings last season. He has a little bit of command issues, but you know he brings the heat, and he works mainly off of a fastball slider combo, both of which have a sub 230 batting average against it. You know, he's young. He's one of their top prospects, and so I think that if he can develop a third pitch, that would benefit him. But yeah, I'm willing to take a shot on one of these, you know, Tampa Bay, they know what they're doing down there. So, I'll take a shot at Patino.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They're very good pitching development organization. That's for sure. Chris, who do you got?
I'm going with Christian Javier. I think that,
That was one of my guys. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I think we see him in the rotation this year in Houston. He's still young. He's just 24 years old. Anyway, he was kind of bouncing in and out of the rotation last year, but a pretty solid arsenal with the slider curve. The secondaries are really good. The fastball is solid as well, you know, 26% whiff rate on it. And it did allow a few home runs on the four-seam, but I don't know. I think he uses the four-seam a little much, but I think we could see that change a bit if put some tweaks in the arsenal. And I think we could see a big tick up there. I mean, the K rate's already really good. He gets great spin on his pitches, gets good whiff rates. So in the rotation, I don't see why Christian Javier could not be a great starter. The return's pretty good value.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. He was one of the guys I was going to go with here. And the other guy I'm going to go with is basically, I could say a lot of the same things you just said about Javier. I have always been a big Tony Gonsolin guy. I know he's probably not going to be in the rotation start, but he might. Like, there's a chance he might be in the rotation to start. Now, there's a lot of other factors that go into that, but if he does get a rotation spot, I think this ADP is an absolute steal going after pick 300 at, where is he, 315 on average. Now, he's posted an ERA, his career ERA is 2.85 through 142 innings over three seasons. He has the slider is a very good pitch. Splitter is very good as well. Look at the slider and the splitter. Let's look at those two. Both had a whiff rate above 40%. Both had a batting average against under 120. A slug under, well, slug was 275 for the slider, 128 for the splitter. That's one of the best splitters in baseball. I know, you know, I'm kind of with Michael. I'm not, you know, really huge in the guys with that little line, the splitter, but that was his third most used offering. The slider is just as good, and he's got a solid four seamer as well that gets hit around a little bit too much, but does have that really good splitter and slider combination. Though it mixes in a pretty decent curveball as well. So if he actually does get a rotation spot, I mean, he's, according to the roster resource, he's in right now, but who knows? They have a lot of options, but he's a guy I've always been like, just give him a freaking chance. He's a very talented arm. So I've gotten a lot of Tony Gonsolin so far this year. And finally, to round it out, Lauren, who is your deep league 401 ADP plus arm that you just have to have?
Yeah, I'm really interested in Spencer Howard.
Yes.
I mean, he's going like a 590 or something like, I think 590. So he's pushing 600, but I think that right now he's penciled in the rotation in Texas. He's just another one of these top prospects that I think has had a really rough start, you know, in the majors. And I think that when he moved over from Philly to Texas, I was reading that he basically was saying he didn't like kind of how he was managed when he was over in Philly. And I think that maybe this is a new place, you know, a change of location, and maybe, you know, he'll be able to, you know, play well, I guess. You know, I think that there's he's a big strikeout guy in the minors, and like I said, right now he's penciled in for a rotation spot. He's at going near pick 600. I'll take a shot on that.
Michael, who you got?
So I feel like at this point in the draft, you're kind of trying to find those little things in pitchers that you could take a chance on, and I actually would go with Michael Wacha here. So in the last month and a half, he put up like a 3 ERA. And what he did was he dished his cutter and he went fastball, changeup heavy. And that last month and a half, he had a 29.2 strikeout rate and a 3.14 FIP. So as someone who doesn't really, I don't try and believe in pitch mix changes for that short of amount of period of time. But again, I feel like at this point in the draft, you kind of look for those little things and hope that it carries on into the following season. So I think if Wacha kind of carries that over, it could be super interesting if he somehow becomes, you know, a higher strikeout rate pitcher.
Man, as a Red Sox fan, I hope so. I was kind of questioning that that signing, but yeah. I
think it's a good signing.
Yeah, it was low money. At first I was like, what are we doing? But the more I kind of thought about it, I was like, you know what? For that, what was it, 5, 6 million, 7 million, yeah, in that range? It was low cost. Yeah, definitely. I like him more than like Martin Perez, that's for damn sure.
Absolutely.
I have a feeling Chris is going to snipe me on this one. I almost guarantee it.
I don't think so.
I think so. Let me guess. Ready? 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 Drum roll. You're going Roansy Contreras.
I'm not. No. Okay. I'm going with a really boring pitcher, Dakota Hudson.
He's coming back, love it.
John.
Yeah. I almost went with him.
Yeah, I have like 5 shares of him already.
I mean, why not at the price? He's another one. It's like, you know, just why not? Because I think he's going to easily return value. We saw the ground ball rate up significantly, and he had a strong return, even though the fastball velo was down a little bit at the end of the year. And he's not going to strike a lot of guys out. That's fine. He's just kind of boring, gets the job done. He's always going to be a guy that way outperforms the ERA, like FIP and Sierra and stuff. But I do think he can be solid. He has an elite defense behind him in St. Louis. And give me Dakota Hudson.
Mm-hmm. That's a solid pick. You know, you got that defense, obviously, is, you know, you can do worse, you know, with that defense behind you. That's for sure. Can't do much better. What, they had 5 gold glovers last year. Was it 5 or 6? They have 6 gold glovers? I
think 5, 3 in the infield, 2 in the outfield, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. So infield was what? Goldschmidt, Arenado, and who's the other one in the infield? Was it Edmund?
Edmund, yeah.
I think it was Edmund.
Was it Edmund? Okay. And then obviously outfield was
Bader and
Bader and O'Neill? No. Mm. Oh, Carl, did Carlson get one?
No, it was O'Neill. Must have been O'Neill.
Was it O'Neill? Okay.
I don't know.
Regardless, that's a good defense. That's what you need to know.
Best in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely was best in the league. For me, I'm going to go Rowanzi Contreras because, you know, he might not be penciled in right now, but, you know, let's take a look at the Pittsburgh Pirates predicted rotation, shall we? They have the ace, Jose Quintana, the ace with a 6.43 ERA last year. Number two, JT Brubaker. I mean, like, he's kind of intriguing a little bit, but okay, he's not that good. Zach Thompson, meh. Dylan Peters, I bet you most people don't even know who Dylan Peters is, let's be honest. And then Bryce Wilson, former Braves cast-off. Now he's number five there. So Contreras is better than all five of them, and it's not even that close. Had a really good year last year in the minor leagues. Good four-pitch mix, fastball changeup especially. So yeah, he can definitely break in. Maybe he's not there to begin with, but if you're in deeper leagues, best ball, draft and hold, this is, you know, one of my favorite targets in this range. So I'll get a lot of Rowanzi Contreras. This year, I already have a lot of shares of him, and I'll get a lot more before the draft season is done. But that will wrap us up, so Simeon can go get some sleep here. Lauren and Michael, thank you so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yep, thank you both.
Yeah, I was really happy to be here. It would have been better without Eric, but thank you.
I know. That damn Eric guy. I think Carl said the same thing about you last week. He's like, yeah, I think.
He did.
It's all good. We're all friends, all good natured ribbing here. So,
yes.
But that is going to wrap us up. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us all on Twitter. Lauren is at LK Auerbach. Michael is at SB Streamer. Chris is at Roto Clegg. I'm at Eric Cross 04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. Drop that rate and review for both us and the SB Streamer podcast as well. And join us again next time for our relief pitcher preview. That will be out on Monday with the reliever recon team. So that'll be a lot of fun talk there. But until then, everyone take care.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.